Father, we thank you for utterance today.
Thank
we
you,
thank
Jesus.
You for illumination. We thank you for the guidance of the Holy Spirit once again to speak through these lips of clay and glorify Jesus. And Father, feed us with manna from on high. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Holy Spirit's the great teacher. And we thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. Mm-hmm. And Father, that bondage of unbelief, that bondage of you're not big enough, you're not able enough, that bondage of deception that could come to any of our lives, mm-hmm. that we can confront it with the Spirit of truth mm-hmm. and the knowledge of the truth from the written word of God. And we thank you for that today as we study your precious word once again. And every need, Lord God, we thank you for being met. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you,
amen.
Lord.
Well, in Matthew 24, the Lord spoke about several things concerning the end of time, when certain things were going to happen. And the first thing that he said after his disciples posed the question to him in verse 3 was, Jesus said in verse 4, he said, take heed, Matthew 24, 4, that no man deceive you, that no man deceive you. And then if you skip down a little bit, you find out that he said in verse 10, that many shall be offended and shall betray one another, hate one another, and many false prophets. What do false prophets do? They deceive and shall rise and deceive many. Mm-hmm. And because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that obviously we skipped over, but a few things that I believe highlight where we're going to go today in the Lord's direction is that many things come to us as legitimate when it comes to the realm of deception. And nobody goes around saying, you know, I'm deceived. That is, people in the right mind, they would never walk around, you know, gee, I'm deceived, and walk around and just settle for that and not gain knowledge of the truth or begin do their search for truth about a matter. Well, the Bible gives us the answers that we always need if we'll study it, get into it, and it forms the basis for sound doctrine in our life. And deception is anything but sound doctrine.
That's right.
Deception is anything but sound down doctrine. Well, the Lord said, and Paul said it too, and Peter and different writers in the New Testament, by unction of the Holy Spirit, they all said the same thing in different ways, but that in these last days, deception would be prevalent. Mm-hmm. Deception would be prevalent. So deception, the ways of the devil and how he works through all subtlety, he never comes to us as he really is. He always comes as a mirage. He comes as a distorted truth. He comes to us as a legitimate truth in our own life, because the information that we're fed by being in this physical world is fed to us through the five physical senses that we have. So when we talk about deception and the legitimacy so many times that coaxes us into it through the voice of reason, we have to really look at it that we have to be careful and really on our spiritual toes, if you will, every day of our life, because Peter said, 1 Peter 5, your adversary, your opponent, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom we're supposed to resist steadfast in the faith. So the point is that in and through this all, we have to stay on our spiritual toes. Mm-hmm. And the way we do that is endeavoring to walk close to the Lord, but also being a student, a lifelong student of the written word of God, mm-hmm. because the Spirit and the word agree.
Amen.
So when a different spirit comes to us, that we can recognize it because it's not of the same spirit of the word of God, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So we start off there, take heed that no man deceive you. Then he talks about relationships with offense and everything like that. Well, we know from what the word of God says in, for example, Matthew 13, that we're told that that the word of God brings up, and Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8, talking about the parable of the sower, that that persecution arises for the word's sake. Mm-hmm. And many times people get offended because the word of God, they endeavor to start believing God, but then they find out that, well, it doesn't appear working, and they get offended at God or offended at his word or offended by the messenger who told them that God would perform his word. And so offense is a very legitimate thing that we all have to deal with in our life. And offense leads directly to unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. And the relationship thereof is it so coaxing and so reasonable in the natural that it totally sounds legitimate.
Right.
And what it does is it takes us off our spiritual game, if you will. It takes us out of our place. So we have to be so cognizant, spiritually cognizant, aware of the fact that this is forever trying to gain access into our spiritual life. And that is offense through unforgiveness. Now, of course, there's a lot more that could be said about Matthew 24 and that, but he ends up talking about betraying one another and then hating one another. Well, how does the fullness of the flower open up, the flower of offense? It exposes itself in hatred towards someone else. Yeah. Well, what does that speak to? It speaks to unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. Now, if we want to have our prayers answered ongoingly, consistency, we have to be aware of what offense does to our life. Mm-hmm. Now, very familiar passage of scripture in Mark chapter 11. We all know this, and every single one of you could quote this, I'm sure, verbatim. So this is not something new, but there can be newness of life and light that comes to each and every one of us as we go into it with a fresh set of spiritual eyes. So the Lord said here, he cursed the fig tree, it withered overnight. Peter said, you know, behold, master, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away. And Jesus then in verse 20 says, well, have faith in God. All right. Well, we know that Jesus cursed the fig tree at the tap root, no pun intended, but at the root where the source of life would come forward from. Mm-hmm. Because if you cut off the roots, you're eventually going to see it in what we see above the surface, being underneath the surface. So Jesus says, have faith in God. And verse 23 says, but verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Mm-hmm. So we see there death and life are in the power of the tongue. We see there the importance of speaking the right words, right?
Right.
We understand that. All of us understand that pretty well. But we need to keep that ever before the frontlets of our eyes and understanding that we really navigate this world and what's going to take place in the future by the words we speak now, specifically the words that we speak that are in alignment with God, because God's power is released through our words that we speak out of our heart in faith, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We all are somewhat familiar with that, I believe. But he goes on to say there, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them. Where do you believe? You believe in your heart, apart from existing natural knowledge that would be input through our five physical senses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a higher plane. Faith of the heart is not of the head. All right?
Right.
Faith will work in our heart with doubt in our head.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do when doubt comes to your head and says, well, you don't really believe God, but you tuck God's word into your heart. Say, no, devil, beat it. In the name of Jesus, I believe what God said.
Right.
So when he says here, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So when do we believe that we receive? Obviously, the Lord said, before you have them.
Mm-hmm.
When do you have them? After you believe that you received them, right?
Right.
But then we can't neglect what's said in the next two verses, which are very important and a key that unlocks, stabilizes, strengthens us, and moves us forward in receiving answers to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that is making sure that when we do stand praying, and that's not just talking about geographically standing on your two feet. It means when you're standing in the position of an attitude of prayer in a certain area of your life, that in that you're in a position or a holding pattern, if you will, that is not undermined by what the Lord begins to talk about in the realm of unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And this is so important to all of us. So when he says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anything big, anything small.
That's right.
And you do this by, again, most all of us know this, it's by decision, not by feelings, right?
Right.
And when, if you have aught against any, right, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses or your sins, right? Mm-hmm. So what does this say? Well, this says that simply that if we have unforgiveness that's not released and dealt with, then it's going to hold us in bondage away from the promises of God and away from what the Lord's trying to do in working his supernatural miracle-working power in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And decision. It will sabotage our faith from working.
That's right.
And so he goes on, verse 26, but if you do not forgive, now see, what is it? This is an if. This is a conditional statement that the Lord utters. So if we make the conscious decision, if we do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what the Lord's simply saying here is in connection to, and this is through the Gospels, the only major impediment or hindrance that he mentions relative to our faith in God working, mountain moving faith working, is when we have an air of unforgiveness about us.
Mm-hmm.
That air of unforgiveness as a believer is like a cancer, if you will, to our life.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in our physical body. Bitterness, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, is bitterness to the bone. Bitterness is something that will as a spiritual root.
Yes.
It'll cause the weakening of the bones.
Mm-hmm.
It'll bring cancer to the bones. It'll bring all kinds of nasty things to our physiological makeup.
It's an open door for other bad stuff to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's the decision that we make after we go to God. Actually, we should do this before we even pray, is to get these things under the blood and these things right with God. Because when the vertical's right, then we're going to have a desire to make the horizontal right in our relationships with people. Now, does that remove them from their responsibility for asking for forgiveness? Absolutely not. Okay. But we can guard our heart like Proverbs chapter 4 talks about, where the issues of life flow from.
That's right.
See, Amen. That's why God's word is like a medicine to all of our flesh, because as an issue from the heart, once God's word has been attended to by us and our ear gate tuned into what he said, and we've read what he said, and we get that ingested into our spiritual heart, then what's going to happen is it's going to filter out to, if you will, to our physical body. It's going to produce health in our body, and it's going to release the power of God in all these different areas of our life, to where we're believing God for this, we're believing God for that. You know, we got so many different things on every different front that we're believing God for. Faith in God works. Yes, it does. But there are conditions that are connected to that so that we can see the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And as we walk further and further with the Lord, these are more and more important things that we need to have in place in our life so that our faith in God will work, right?
Yes.
There's no such thing as a true faith in God failure.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about, you know, our heart, you think about the pipeline of blessings, keeping the pipeline of blessings flowing. We don't want them to be stopped. We don't ever want them to be slow down. What happens when you've got a pipe that's clogged up? It's like we had some ice in our hose yesterday. And so I was trying to fill up, you know, some water outside, and I had to wait for the ice to break loose and shoot out, right? so that the water can continue to flow. And I'm reminded of James Chapter 3, and it says verse 16, and a lot of times we don't think about unforgiveness being in this situation or offense. And again, the devil, we've been talking about this, about the parable of the sower here, I believe last week, and talking about our heart, how we have to guard our heart, but we also have to make sure that, you know, it's like you do some weed eating, right? You plant some good seed. Why is it that when you start planting good seed and you start watering it, all these weeds tend to come up? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to kind of wait for the plants to get a little bit bigger, because you're like, boy, that looks like a plant. And then it starts to produce its characteristics. And you're like, that's not a plant. That's a weed. I mean, it's a plant, but it's a weed. It's not a flower, or it's not a vegetable, right? And so you start to pull these things out. Why? Because it'll choke out the goods. It'll choke out the good plants, and it'll take root and it'll take over. And that's what they try to do. And some of these weeds, I'm telling you, they've got a tap root that's about, it's long. And especially out in the gravel, it's like, whoa, why? It's got to hunker down. And I'm like, I got to get them out while they're small. Mm-hmm. You know, it applies to our heart, applies to our spiritual heart. You know, the devil tries to come through a fence. He wants to get you to meditate. He wants you to get that situation or that problem or that person to have free rent in your head, where that's all you're thinking about. How do you know when you're unforgiveness? That's all you think about, right? And then you're like, what are you thinking about that situation, person, or you know, whatever it is? Oh, that's not good. It's not good thoughts. It's not like you're praying for them. It's one thing to pray for people and to pray about a situation, but if that starts to take root again and it grows, then we have to uproot those things that don't belong there. Mm-hmm. But it says here in James 3, verse 16, for where envying and strife is, with strife, it's the manifest presence of the devil. You know, mm-hmm. if we're thinking about the wrong things, right and wrong thinking, and we're meditating on the wrong things, that's where people that go out and commit murders and go out and commit crime, it started with the thoughts. Mm-hmm. They just didn't act out immediately. Well, it could have been, but it started to take root up here, and then it goes down into mm-hmm. here, and then that becomes an act, right? Good or bad. And we have to be careful about that. We have to guard our heart once again, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work.
Every evil work.
So that's why we have to be, and I like what it says here going on, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, God's pure, right? Then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. That means easy to engage, be teachable. If the Lord says, you know, you need to do this, we're not hard-hearted or hard-headed or stiff-necked. No, we're entreated. That means we comply with the Lord, right? His mm-hmm. spirit, his ways, his doings, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So, you were saying earlier, honey, you know, there's times that you can do something about the situation. People have wronged you. There's other times you just have to release it to the Lord, because it's not for the person so much, because sometimes people don't even know you're thinking wrong or whatever mm-hmm. it is, but it's for us. It's for us. And that's what's so important about doing the right thing, making the right decision. It's for us to have our pipeline again of blessing flowing continuously mm-hmm. and not stopped up, or where you can't, nothing will budge. Mm-hmm. And it's so important. It's so important. Because if Jesus said there, when we were reading there in, was it Matthew? And where Jesus said, you know, take heed that no man deceive you. That's the very first thing he says. And then it goes on to the offenses. Well, we have to take heed that the devil doesn't deceive us as well. It's so important to guard our heart and don't let it guard your faith. It'll steal your faith. It'll steal your love. It'll steal your joy. It'll steal your peace. And if you're in that position, you just have to make a decision. And then our feelings will line up, right? We do the right thing, and then everything else will line up. And we'll be free, because the truth is what sets us free. And that's what we have to guard and protect.
Amen.
With all diligence.
Now turn over to Matthew 18. And we're going to begin down in verse 21. But if you went to verse 15, and we won't take time to go into the nitty gritty of this, but he talks about reconciliation with your brother. And if he's trespassed against mm-hmm. you, go to him alone and talk to him. If he doesn't listen, then you take with you witnesses. And then if he doesn't, they don't listen, or he still doesn't listen, you go to the church, and then he becomes a heathen and a publican before that, if he neglects to hear the church. In other words, there's witnesses, there's credibility to what happened, okay, mm-hmm. and such. But the whole essence of this is really guarding, keeping our heart so that we don't get into that mode of unforgiveness, being offended. Yep. Because what happens is when we have a wrong or imagined wrong against somebody, we, as a, in our flesh, and all of us have flesh, we want to gravitate towards, well, bless God, you know, why did they do that? Or why didn't they do that? And so they take the position, or we can, through our flesh and through the voice of reason, take that position that, well, there's a legitimate reason why I should not speak to them or have any interactions with them. When the Bible tells us that we need to deal with this because right. it's a protectionism mechanism in our heart.
Yes.
Now, sometimes the Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews, if possible, live at peace with all men. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes that's not possible, but you sure do want to try and exhaust the ability that you have with God's given wisdom mm-hmm. to be able to, patch up relationships and do. Again, sometimes it doesn't work. So if you look at verse, and he talks about agreement and prayer, how powerful that is. But if you skip down there to verse 21, it says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. So Peter thought he was doing a great big thing in saying to the Lord, if I forgive my brother seven times, and this is in a day, mind you, that, that's enough, isn't it? And Jesus said, no. He said in verse 22, I say not unto these until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So he eclipses by a long shot Peter's seven by 490, all in one day. And that's a lot. What that is telling us is that we need to keep our forgiver pliable and working all the time, no matter how many things relentlessly come against us, even sometimes with the same person, which is how many times the devil comes to us masquerading as legitimately being offended at someone, mm-hmm. how he tries to get through that open door of offense and legitimize the fact that, well, you know, I tried a few times and, you know, they're that. And so, you know what? I'm not going to forgive them. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, this is particularly Pete talking about a person who would come to thee and ask for forgiveness, or someone who would need forgiveness. Mm-hmm. This doesn't even, you know, begin to touch how that many times we have things done to us that the person doesn't even know that they did some type of wrong, but yet we're still in the prison of our own thinking about it and stewing about it, mm-hmm. and read it and let, instead of releasing it.
Yes.
So the Lord usurps Peter 7 by 490 and says, you know, this is all in one day. And that's with the same person, mind you. It's not 490 different situations that would arise. I mean, that seems like outlandish, but Jesus is emphasizing the importance of the point of not letting your forgiver get stale.
Right.
In other words, don't let it become dormant and legitimized and manifest itself through that spirit of unforgiveness. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then he goes on and tells him something that is right in connection with what he just said there in these last two verses. He said, therefore, in verse 23, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants? And this is particularly talking about the Lord Jesus himself. And you'll see this if you've read the end of this chapter, you know that he's talking about himself very clearly. And he says here, this certain king, he was going to take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now that's well over $20 million, okay, in today's money, okay, system, even with inflation and everything. Verse 25, but for as much as he would not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. Now, that's pretty graphic, that's pretty pointed as far as that gets to really the meat of the matter and the things closest to you, right? Mm-hmm. Your wife, your children. And says, in other words, until you pay, this is going to be held in ransom, if you will, until you make that payment. Well, guess what that man does? That servant in verse 26 says, therefore, he fell down and worshiped him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And said, now it's interesting because here, this one, he worshiped him. Now you worship the king. Well, we worship the King Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what did he say to the Lord? He said, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. So right here is he comes to his senses and he realizes that I've got to do something about this. And I've got to humble myself. I got to come to him and beg for mercy and patience. And I'm going to pay you all. Okay. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Okay. He forgave him. Now that's good news. That man's like, no doubt. But then this, as the Lord reveals it in verse 28, goes on to taking that same servant, going out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which is just maybe $20. Now, $20 in comparison to well over 20 million, there's no comparison in the natural, right?
Right.
So he goes and finds this fellow servant that owes him a minuscule amount. Now remember, he's been forgiven, right? He's not just getting time to repay,
mm-hmm.
and great leniency mm-hmm. in the king giving him a lot of time, but now the debt's wiped out. See, right. Forgiveness is like the releasement of debt.
Yes.
Okay. Now, look what it goes on to say here in the story. So that fellow servant did pretty much the same thing. He said, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. So tells him the exact same thing that he had went to the king beforehand and got not just patience, but the full releasement of his debt.
Mm-hmm.
And he's willing, if that servant is patient with him, that he's going to pay it all. Just be patient with me. But now notice what happens and transpires. And he would not. He would not have patience. He was not willing to work with this guy. And he said, and the Lord said, he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. In other words, I'm going to get that $20 out of you, and you're going to be hostage to me in prison until the last ounce of it, the last very mm-hmm. bit of it is paid. Now, do you think that sounds like love? Does that sound like something that should be in the Christian makeup and behavior? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Now, keep in mind of what he was just forgiven of and released from, that huge debt of over $20 million. So then his Lord, look at this, verse 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant. Okay, who's the Lord? The king. Oh, thou wicked servant. He calls him a wicked servant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why? He says, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest of me. It was just for the asking.
Yes,
right?
Right.
Shouldest not, verse 33, thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And notice here that he goes on to say in verse 34, as his Lord was wroth and delivered him to what? To the tormentors. To the tormentors.
Mm-hmm.
To the tormentors. So the king was so wroth with this man that would not release, but rather put in prison and hold hostage this man for all of $20 when he was forgiven over 20 million.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Think about that. You think that
something.
And look what the Lord says here. He was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, we're going to re-implement the debt you owe of over $20 million, okay? And the man didn't have the means to pay it. And he went on to say, till he should pay all that was due unto him. And then verse 35 culminates in what Jesus is expressing through what he began to say back in verse 23, in that, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. How powerful.
Yeah.
How profound.
Yes, amen.
So we can see here a picture of forgiveness being as the releasement of debt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a debt that none of us could ever pay. The ransom price for the forgiveness or for the releasement of that debt would come nothing short of the spotless lamb slain from the foundation of the world, who would have to spill his precious blood on account of humanity's sin.
Yes.
To be able to redeem them back to the Father's family, to be able to wipe out that debt they could never pay.
Wow.
They could never pay it.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we have Jesus saying that the Father's is going to do likewise, deliver people to the tormentors until the debt is fully paid, which we could never pay the debt. So in other words, this ties directly with what the Lord said in regard to answer to prayer back in Mark 11, 25 and 26 that we opened with.
Yes.
When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. And if we don't forgive,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be tormented by a variety of things.
Yes, amen. I'm reminded of what Jesus did here. And when he was there at Calvary, what was one of the last things that he said before he laid down his life for us? Remember, they were going to go around and break the legs of the prisoners to speed up the death process. But the Bible talks about how not one of his bones was broken. And that was a fulfillment of prophecy. But it says here in Luke 23, verse 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How profound is that? And they parted his raiment and cast lots. These were the people. You look at Judas, who betrayed him. He told them, whatever you got to do, go do it quickly. He betrayed him with a kiss, received 30 pieces of silver in exchange. The people that were praising him and worshiping him and crying Hosanna, God of the highest, the week before, put him on the cross a week later. Think about this. Think about the betrayal. Think about that, how much it hurt Jesus's heart. And they know not what they do. He says, Lord, forgive them. The last thing he wanted to impart and to declare on this earth was that he was not going to hold unforgiveness.
Absolutely. What a great truth.
And his Father God, he wanted to make sure his heart was right, because remember, he was a man without sin. And if he set the example for us, I think how beautiful that is, because nobody in their right mind could not, to guard your heart with all diligence, how the devil's trying to come in with betrayal and with fences here in these last days. And it's not just with people you don't know. It's with people you do know and you love and you care about, and family, right? And church family. And nobody's off limits.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just touches me just in a fresh way, because what an example Jesus set. He was 100% man. You say, well, he was just God. He could do. No, he came to earth and he was stripped of his power. He was 100% God. Now, 100% man. Now he was a man without, he had the measure of the whole, he was without measure when it came to the anointing, but he mm-hmm. still had to live out his life. He put on his pants the same way. He ate food the same way we do. So people can't say, well, he was just untouchable. No, he was tempted. When the devil tried to tempt him there in the wilderness, he was tempted. Mm-hmm. The Bible says he was tempted. He was tempted to sin. So, and just here, also too, the Father, the Lord's Prayer here in Luke 11, and it talks about here and here, just bear with me for a second. When it talks about the Lord's Prayer, and he says, and it's just a shorter version, Luke 11, he says, when he pray, verse 2, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in earth as it is, so in heaven, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Well, we get delivered from evil when we forgive.
Well, we do, because God doesn't tempt us with evil. The devil does, right? But the point is that that's how you start. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. And when sometimes we can kind of take it lightly, thinking, oh, you know, that's the Lord's Prayer. No, he wants us to.
It's to be the heart of our prayer when we pray, the very substance of what led forth there. The disciples said, teach us to pray.
Teach us to pray. That's one of the very fundamental basics of how we're supposed to pray. And then if you look at Matthew 6, which is a longer version of the Lord's Prayer, and it says here in verse 9, and after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? Mm-hmm. He says it in a little bit of a different way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, right? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So again, we need to forgive people. And yes, going on, 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a heavy duty.
Yeah, the Lord says it so many different times.
Just a second, honey. Does that mean you're not going to heaven?
I don't know.
I wouldn't want to find out. Stay clear of the cliff. Amen.
Right.
That to me is when you're driving close to the cliff.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you stay away from the cliff? You hug the side. You hug the Father.
Hug the inside.
Hug the inside. Keep our heart right. And our mind, because the more we feed on these things that are wrong, then we're consumed with them. And that's where strife comes in and confusion, every evil work. We have to be so careful, because that's the way the devil operates. He wants to speed up that. He wants to energize our flesh. He wants to energize and get us thinking about that rather than the kingdom of heaven, rather than the blessings of God. But if we just make a decision, the devil says, what about that? Oh, I forgive him. What about this? I forgive that. What about this? I don't know. It's not my problem. It's God's problem. He's going to help me with it. I'm going to have wisdom on how to deal with it. I have peace. I guard and protect my heart. I guard and protect my faith, because we have to protect our faith, right? We have to put a force field around it. And the way we do that is meditating on the right things that would normally try to steal our faith, steal our joy, steal our peace, steal our love. Because anything outside of love, one step out of love is sin. The Bible says that. And faith operates by love. Faith worketh by love. So we can have all the faith in the world, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and not have faith. And it's like a clanging cymbal, right?
Or not have love.
Not have
charity.
Excuse me. Yeah, it's the greatest thing. Love, charity. We can have all the faith in the world, not have charity, not have love. And it doesn't matter. God says it doesn't matter.
Yep.
So we have to be so careful about that, that we stay in love and we stay in faith and we stay in forgiveness and guard it with all of our heart. And when the devil again tries to energize that, tries to get you to meditate on it. So no, I'm going to meditate. I'm going to promises of God. I'm going to worship him. And you know, you're cooking, you're cleaning, you're driving your car, and you say, no, I'm going to meditate on the promises of God. I'm going to worship him and not think about how people have wronged you.
Exactly.
And forgive them.
Now,
release that forgiveness.
Now, we see that displayed in after Stephen in Acts chapter 7 preached, and the people were not happy with his preaching. And so they stoned him. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said thus, he fell asleep. Now, Saul at the time was consenting to his death. And that had a remarkable, profound effect on Saul, no doubt, in his conversion experience and his understanding about forgiveness.
Yes, okay? Amen.
When the Lord was going to later on, a few chapters, appear to him on the Damascus Road and be converted to the Apostle Paul. 1 John 1:9, a very familiar passage of Scripture, says that, and Paul writing to believers, he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right?
That's right.
So confession to the Lord, right? Or as James talked about in relationship to receiving healing, confess your faults one to another, one for another that you may be healed. James 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right?
Yes.
Now,
if I can say something really quick, honey. So it says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Well, there's times that you don't have to confess your faults. It's not possible. It's not doable. But we say, you know, some people can say, well, I'm just going to confess my faults to the Lord. He hears all. He knows all. But there's times that we have to confess our faults one to another.
There is. That's biblical.
That's one of the ways to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. That's powerful.
Yes.
And the Lord can quicken us. He can quicken you. If you're praying for someone, the Lord says, hey, they need to forgive someone.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
And that's
Bible. That's biblical scripture. And that's why we're looking at these scriptures to help us get answers.
Yes.
And to get resolution to problems, right? And it may not
keep
be
our heart right.
Keep our heart right, but it may be for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be as simple as, Lord, I release forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And then you watch things turn around in your life or in that Amen. Person's life and as you're instructing them.
So 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, if again, conditional, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Well, the Lord, how many times is he faithful if we confess our sins? All the time.
All the time.
Every single time. So when we stand praying, we forgive with the backdrop of the Lord being the faithful one that always forgives us. And then
yes.
Jesus exemplified that in what he said, as we just read a few moments ago there in Matthew 18, where Peter come to him and said, Lord, how often do I forgive my brother?
Mm-hmm.
Every single time.
That's right.
But then even if they don't come and make confession of their fault to you, or even if you went to them and talked to them about it, even if they didn't agree it was biblical or whatever, mm-hmm. that there was a suffered wrong, still you must guard your heart.
Right.
You must guard your heart
Amen.
At all costs. So the Lord always forgives. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness or all unright doing.
Yes.
Okay. And we're in right standing once again with the Lord, fellowship wise.
Mm-hmm.
We don't break relationship with the Lord just because we have a sin or committed a sin. We break the sweetness of fellowship. Okay.
Right.
Now, how are we supposed to forgive? Look at Ephesians 4. Real briefly, Ephesians 4. Now, if you look at the latter part of this particular chapter, you start in verse 31, it goes over into chapter 5. He says here, to believers, mind you, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor's loud yelling, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, mm-hmm. okay? With all malice. And verse 32, and be ye kind one to another. How's this? Tender-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
Tender-hearted. Doesn't say hard-hearted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Right.
The prophets of old in the Old Testament said that God was going to take out of us believers, now we're believers, that heart of stone and put in us a heart of flesh.
Yes.
In other words, a pliable heart.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
A live heart, a quickened heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says here, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted. What's that next word? Forgiving one another. And how do we forgive one another? How are we supposed to envision this? What does it look like? Well, he goes on to say, even as God for Christ's sake mm-hmm. hath forgiven you.
Amen.
And we think, oh, God's doing it all for me, but You know what he's doing it?
We have a part to play him.
We have that part to play, but he's doing it for Christ's sake, meaning that he's honoring what Jesus did. And because that blood is an everlasting propitiation for the forgiveness of sins for us as Christians, it's available to the world, but it is released into our life when we appropriate the promises of God. Then glory to God. We do it even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, right?
Yes.
Then in verse 1, chapter 5, be therefore followers of God as Jill children. This is how we follow God. We follow the word.
Mm-hmm.
We follow the word, right?
Amen.
This is how we make connection in answer to prayer, right? All relative to how forgiveness released, forgiveness given, releases the doorways of heaven.
Yes.
And heaven's blessings to flow into our Amen. Life. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. And what? Walk in love.
Mm-hmm.
Walk in love. Doesn't, you know, walk. In other words, as you're walking, make sure it's in love, on the path of love.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
As Christ also hath loved us. So how do we do it? As Christ loved us, how did he do it? He did it with the forgiveness that he was giving, offering to humanity, offering to us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
For an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So, how does this all work and manifest? When we forgive, we have to, in guarding our heart, we have to release it in that the backdrop in our forgiveness towards others is with the big picture of the Lord forgave us of so much.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if we were, you know, the biggest sinner walking the streets of wherever we live.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of unrighteousness is sin,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
And so with the backdrop of how God forgave us all, that's how we forgive other people,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
Whether it's real forgiveness is needed or imagined or whatever the situation, whether somebody agrees that that if something wrong was done or not, we guard our heart because again, once again, it's the issues of life that spring forth, which have to do with healing, has to do with prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just some people that if they get you in strife, now, obviously, it may be family members. You have to deal with that as the Lord directs you. But people that cause you issues and cause strife and there's pot stirs and things, don't hang around them if you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to converse and be best buds with people like that because it'll sap you of your spiritual strength.
Yes.
And you will not be able to receive from the Father God everything he wants to give to you.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So today, with that in mind, let's pray.
Thank you, Lord.
And let's just, I know a lot of this is refresher for most and such, but it's so important.
Mm-hmm. And on that one note, I just encourage you. I know maybe some of you've heard the word boundaries. And as Christians, you know, we're supposed to turn the other cheek, but we're not supposed to be a rug or a mat to be walked on. Walk in love, but not be walked on. And there's a point, and everybody's got a different threshold of tolerance, right? And there, like you said, honey, there are times that we have to perhaps stay away from angry people, people that cause a lot of turmoil, and it's a good time to pray in the Holy Ghost and be strong, but be led by your spirit and perhaps draw a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe draw that boundary. What's a boundary? You can, you know, a boundary is where you only go up to this certain point, maybe spending time with them, maybe having a conversation with them over the phone or being with them in person. And it doesn't mean, because, you know, sometimes people have the misconception that I'm a Christian, so I have to do everything the Lord. I have to do everything. I have to never say no. I always have to be there for someone. Well, yes, but we also have to be led by our spirit. And the Lord knows that we're on the best day, we're flesh. So it's important, you know, and then maybe we have to take a break from people that are constantly strife-filled people.
Yeah.
And whether it's family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, whoever it is, and just try our best. It doesn't mean you're in unforgiveness, but that's what you want to protect yourself from, right?
Guard your heart.
Guard your heart and pray in the Holy Ghost. you know, keep your distance, maybe take a break. And then again, draw the boundary of what you feel comfortable with as far as how much you engage with them and spend time with them.
Amen.
Because,
amen.
You know, just it's a common sense. But then again, we can kind of, well, what's my responsibility as a Christian? Well, the Lord will show you.
Yeah.
He'll show you.
Let's pray.
Be led by your spirit.
And you can just lift that up to the Lord where you're at, or if the Lord tells you, you go talk to so-and-so or whatever. This is just, we're speaking in generalities today, because this all can affect our lives in different ways, not in so much good ways. And it'll thwart the blessings of God on our life. So let's go to the Lord. Let's thank him right now for his deep,
for his help,
faithful forgiveness to all of us.
Yes.
And that we can be strengthened in this area by knowledge of the Word of God. Now the greater one lives on the inside of us, that we can forgive.
Yes.
And we can let things go. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So Father, right now, as we come before you, we thank you for the honor, the distinct privilege that we have to study your word and to stir up some things afresh on the inside of us. Mm-hmm. We see how the world's going. We see how that there's so much hatred, animosity, strife, and division working, and offense working in the world. My Lord, you don't want that to taint our walk and our fellowship with you or with our brothers and sisters in Christ or other people around us. But Father, we thank you for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for the guidance that you give to us, to where we can release forgiveness. We can guard our heart. We can set boundaries in our life by the Spirit of God as he leads us individually to know when to say when, to know what to do. And as he tailor makes that guidance, we know it will always be in agreement with the principles, the precepts, the doctrines of Christ as stated forth in the precious word. And Father, we want to thank you that, Father, we have an air of forgiveness around us. In other words, we're not easily offended. We're not easily provoked. We're not easily thrown off our walk with you by what other people do, because we've already come into the knowledge of the truth that we're in this world. We're ambassadors for Christ, but we're not of this world.
Amen.
And that, Father, we have a new nature, a new ability to overcome all.
Yes.
By the wisdom of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
By the greater one on the inside of us. And for God, Father God, that makes forgiveness easier and easier as we see and have knowledge of the truth and keep that before the frontlets of our eyes. And we can guard our heart, keep the blessings flowing in our individual lives. And we want to thank you for the forgiveness that you've given to each and every one of us by the blood of Jesus that's enabled us to do what we couldn't do in the natural otherwise. And Father, we thank you and praise you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.